Well, this lovely story of blind Bartimaeus, perhaps familiar to many of you, and perhaps some of you not so familiar. We read about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was journeying to Jerusalem to certain death. He knew that, certain death to bear the wrath of God for all those that would seek forgiveness. And he's going to rise again, and he's preparing his disciples, he's preparing his followers to strengthen them, though they were going to be greatly distressed. And on the way, he meets with blind Bartimaeus. And this is a wonderful picture we have here. In a spiritual sense, a man is getting his natural sight back, he's blind, but it's a wonderful picture of the love of God to sinners like you and I. And he can restore our spiritual sight. And I hope that you understand more what I mean by that, or what the Lord is teaching us by the end of this sermon. And really, I'd like to look at this portion of scripture from blind Bartimaeus, which is from verse 46 to 52, under four headings: that we're blind and poor, we need to cry for mercy, we'll face a hostile crowd, but mercy can be given. Just some things to clear up around the text. This appears in two other accounts, one in Matthew and one in Luke. In some of them, two men are described crying out, and this one, it's only one. And that's easily explained. Matthew Henry pithily says this: well, if two are there, then certainly one will be there. And in here, Mark has focused on the fact that it's one of them which is crying out on behalf of the two. This gospel is known as the Memoirs of Peter by Justin Martyr, who was born in, who said this around AD 50. And he was writing about what the Apostle Peter had said about Christ. It's a wonderful thing to have this record, isn't it? That Peter has written down through Mark all he experienced, really, on this earth, which Jesus did. The second thing is, some people get confused because in some accounts the Lord is shown coming into Jericho and he meets Bartimaeus. Some is on here shown that as he comes out of Jericho he meets Bartimaeus, and liberal scholars, so-called, that try to pick holes in the Bible say, oh, see, it's not accurate. But there's several explanations, but the most easiest one is this, is there was the Old Testament Jericho, which was conquered by the Israelites, and the walls fell down and you had the ruins. And then there's another Jericho which was rebuilt nearby. So the Lord was travelling from the ruins into the new one. Well, we put history to one side and get on what's really important. So let's consider this poor blind beggar, Bartimaeus, sitting by the road. And that is a picture of us. You may say, well, how is this a picture of us before we know the Lord Jesus for ourselves? Well, in Ephesians 4, verses 17 and 18, we read this: this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk, not as other Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. The blindness of their heart. And these miracles show the gospel, the good news of Jesus, what he does for our souls in a physical sense. In John 10:38, the Lord Jesus said this: if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. So when we see lame people being able to walk, that is the Lord showing that we need his help to be able to walk the Christian life. When we see the dead being brought to life, it's not just to show his great power, that was some of it, but it's to show us that we're spiritually dead inside. We feel nothing towards God, no love, and we need to be brought to life. When we read about the lepers being cleansed, that shows us how horrible sin is, and it just corrupts every being, and we need a saviour to cleanse us. When we read about the deaf hearing, we need our spiritual ears unblocked. I must have listened to thousands and thousands of sermons preaching about Jesus before the Lord opened my spiritual ears and I heard the voice of the Saviour. And many of you here would say that, and perhaps you're sitting here now, even now, 5 minutes into the message, you're like me, bored and thinking, will he preach for a long time today? Will anything be interested? And then the blind, we don't see. A blind person doesn't see. Spiritually, we don't see. Well, you say, well, what don't we see then? I'm not saying you can't see the world around you. I mean, you can't see your position before God. We don't see our position before God. We don't see ourselves as we really are. We're blind. We're blind to our sin, just how sinful we are. Think of Bartimaeus. He'd been blind from birth, they think. When it says the son of Timaeus, they think that that name Timaeus also has significance of being blind. So he was a blind man who was the son of a blind man. And in one sense, spiritually, we're all like that. We're all born to blind, spiritually blind people, unless the Lord has worked in their hearts. And we're blind. And Bartimaeus was in the darkness, things he just couldn't see, things he'd never seen about the world around him. And this is like us spiritually. We don't realise how sinful we are. We don't realise just how holy and great God is. He's described as a consuming fire. All we've ever known is our understanding of the world. And it's darkened, as we read in Ephesians. And so we make no effort to know God. And we're blind to the danger we're in. Think about a man, and he's drunk, and he's fallen into a deep sleep. But where he's fallen asleep is on the high-speed rail link, if it were possible. If there was some plastic there so he wasn't electrocuted. And he's fast asleep, and the train's leaving London, and he's just outside Ashford. And at 150 miles an hour, this train is bearing down on him to certain death. And he has no idea about this. And he's fast asleep. Perhaps he stirs and giggles in his drunkenness. And he's completely oblivious to the danger he faces. My friends, that is you and I this morning if we don't know Jesus Christ. God has appointed a day of judgment. There's going to be a great day of reckoning. The books are going to be opened and everything we've ever done and said and thought is going to be brought into the presence of our holy God. And punishment will be dealt out for our sin. And it's an awful position to be in. And yet we're blind to it. We can hear that and it means nothing to us. We're not concerned about the day of judgment. We're not concerned about our sin before God. And we're blind to it. But I thank God that God isn't blind to us. And God has done something wonderful. Jesus is referred to as the Son of David here. We'll consider that what that means in a little while. But he's also referred to as the Son of Man. And that is that Jesus would leave heaven as the Son of God. The one through whom this great world, this great universe was created. And he came and walked on here as we read. And he said to his disciples, he's going to die. The religious leaders of the day were going to persecute him and kill him and think they're doing God a favour. Why was this happening, this great mystery? Why would the Son of God do such a thing? Because God has shown such love to you and I this morning so that we could be spared that judgment, so that on that day there is a way for you to stand there before God as a child of God, accepted, beloved. How can that be? God is not going to set his punishment aside, my friend. Don't listen to the people that say, God will never do such a thing. He would never punish you for that. That is an absolute lie from the devil that started in the Garden of Eden. When the devil said, has God said? Did he really mean this? Yes, he does. But Jesus hung on a cross and God poured his awful wrath upon him. Why? So that there's a way so that you do not have to face that wrath. If you will bow the knee to Jesus, you will see how compassionate he is through this message. You will see through this text how loving he is to those that will come to him. How willing he is to give you sight so that you can see your position before him. And you can see the great love of God to sinners. But perhaps you don't see any of this morning. Your first prayer should be this. Lord, make me see what I'm really like before you. Lord, please make me see. This seems to be serious. We heard our brother Paul at the youth group. We heard the word sin in prison and it arrested him in that prison. It arrested him. He said, what does that mean? It got to him. He didn't know what it meant. And God showed him, you need to cry out this morning if this doesn't make sense and say, Lord, please make this sense to me. Lord, I don't want to stand before you in the judgment, an unforgiven sinner. I don't want to face that punishment. God, have mercy upon me. And he's willing to do that. We're blind. But also we're like Bartimaeus, we're a beggar. A beggar has nothing of his own, he has nothing to give. He's completely reliant upon others showing him goodness and kindness. And friends, before our holy God, we are beggars. We have no good works to give God. There is nothing we can gather up, even the things we've done to the best of our ability, with the best of our motives. The Bible teaches they're all somewhere stained by sin. We can't pile up some good works here and say, Lord, look what I've done here. Please forgive all these bad things. It doesn't work like that. In the courts of this land, it doesn't work like that. Justice must be dealt. We're beggars. We're beggars that need help. We're beggars that need someone to help us. And if you're a sinner here this morning that hasn't seen your need of Jesus, you need him to help you. It's your most pressing need this morning. You may have great problems, and I'm not being unkind, great problems that make you feel so sad this morning. But the thing you need most of all is the forgiveness and the love of God through Christ. Don't leave this place doubting that. You need to do what Bartimaeus did next, because Bartimaeus sits by the road begging, and then he hears something which stirs up his very being, that Jesus of Nazareth is nearby. And he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. What a thought that he knew that Jesus was there. We cannot underestimate the fame of Jesus throughout that land. The fame of Jesus throughout that land. If he was here in Ashford today, if his appointed time would have been now, not 2,000 years ago, and we can see why the Lord hasn't done that with our ease of communication, there would literally be millions of people trying to get into this little town. Millions to see what miracles he would do, to hear his words. If he was here making dead people come to life, blind people see, people with incurable diseases coming down from the William Harvey and leaving there absolutely healed, I can assure you, my friends, there will be millions of people flocking around this town. And so it was. And Bartimaeus knew something about Jesus of Nazareth. And he began to cry out. What a thought it is to be where Christ is. Do you know, in one sense, Christ is absolutely everywhere. It's a great comfort. You could be at the bottom of the ocean and Christ is there. You could be at the darkest, deepest mine beyond the help of man, but Jesus Christ is there. You could be in the farthest reaches of the universe and Christ is there, because his presence inhabits everywhere, unseen, invisible. But there's places where he makes himself especially known. You need to be where Christ is. You need to be in this house as often as you can, because Christ comes here and meets with his people. And he may pick up a message, and he may have a message for you. You need to be here. You need to be at the prayer meeting, because Christ can be there in a singular fashion. And he can deal with your soul so graciously. He can give you just the food you need. You need to pick this book up every day, at least once, if not twice, because Christ can meet you there. You need to get on your knees and find Christ, because he can help you. There are special places where Jesus Christ is. And you need to put yourself there. And then you need to cry out and have mercy. That word cry, it comes from the word krazo. It means to shriek. It means to exclaim. It means to beg. It means to entreat like your very life depends upon it. It wasn't, excuse me. He didn't care what people thought. He cried out. And he cried out for mercy. That word mercy means, Lord, look at me, have pity on me. No one can help me. I can't help myself. Have mercy. And that is the beginning of a sinner being right with God. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I cannot make my sin go away. Lord, I've tried to make my sin go away. I've tried to live the Christian life and I can't do it. I just fall deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. And that word, Son of David, you see, Bartimaeus knew something of who Christ was. In Jeremiah, the Lord says that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. Now this is his name, in which he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. So this word Son of David, this means that he knew that one day in the line of David, David's great, 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 and had as many greats as you like, many years later, one of his great, 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 great grandsons would be born. And he would be the Messiah. He would be the one the Lord would use to bring salvation to Israel. And he's described as the Lord, our righteousness. He's our righteousness. Why is that? We don't have any righteousness. I'm concerned this morning, there's some of you here that your hope when you leave this earth is that somehow you've got something good to bring before God. You haven't got anything. Not that you'll survive your eternal date with God and on that great day of judgment. But Jesus has. He's lived a life you could never leave. He's lived perfectly and taken that punishment. He's the Son of David sent to earth. And do you know Bartimaeus knew this? He's saying, only the Son of David could do this. Elsewhere we hear about other people saying, could this be the Son of David? He knew this was the Son of David. He knew he was the Messiah. And he knew that he could help him. Do you know that this morning? Do you know that Jesus has the power to help you? Whatever your situation? Do you know that Jesus has the power to give eternal life? Do you know that him alone has the power to forgive sins? Do you understand that he's willing to forgive sins? Well, he begins to cry out, a desperate cry for the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, he faced a hostile crowd. Because in verse 48 we read, then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Many warned him to be quiet. How selfish. There's this poor blind man, and they knew that Jesus could help him. And they're going, be quiet. Pipe down. We don't want to hear your cries. That is, tells us so much. There were many in that crowd. They were there not for the right reason. They wanted to see the miracles. They wanted to see perhaps loaves of bread being made out of nothing. They wanted to see a dead man come to rise to life. But it was just purely for almost their entertainment. This would be interesting to see. They weren't there for the Son of David, for the Messiah. They were there for the excitement. They were there for what might happen, what might entertain them during the week. Then they'd walk off. If they truly knew who Jesus was, if they truly knew that he was the Son of David, if they had any heart for this poor man, they would have dragged him out themselves. And there's a lesson for you seeking sinner this morning. All the time you just view Jesus as a good man and speak to your work colleagues and your school friends and your family. Oh, he's a good man and I try to copy him. He's an interesting man. I even think he's the Son of God. They're happy with that. But when they say to you, why do you have such an interest in Jesus? Why are you so concerned? I must have my sins forgiven. Oh, seeking person this morning, you will meet opposition. Because if they don't know Christ, they will feel very uncomfortable. And they will say, be quiet. Why are you making such a fuss about this? Why are you so intense about these things? Why do you have to be so serious about these things? You will face a hostile crowd, but don't give up. But you'll face an invisible enemy too, the great enemy of souls, the devil himself. He does not want you to leave his kingdom. Because you're either in Christ's kingdom this morning, praise God, or unbeknown to you, you're in the kingdom of the devil. In Peter, it speaks about being delivered from the snare of the devil, from the trap of the devil. And you're in that awful kingdom, and he doesn't want you to leave. And he's going to have plenty to say to you. Do you know the story of Pilgrim's Progress? As Pilgrim is trying to make his way to the light that shines, and he gets near the door, and great arrows descend upon him. And that's the arrows of the devil. Oh, the devil will fire at you this morning if you're truly seeking Christ. He'll tell you you can't be a Christian. He'll tell you you're too bad. He'll tell you don't need to worry about it today. He'll tell you the Bible's not true. He'll say, look at everyone else. They're not worried about these things. A million different things. And you need Jesus. You don't need to listen to him. You need to cry out all the more. And Bartimaeus did exactly that. He cried out. He must have Jesus. Do you know, that's what it means to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You get to a point in your life where it's him or nothing else. Only he will do. Only being right with God will do. Only knowing his healing for yourself will do. If you just think of that, Bartimaeus, he knew other people could see. And it's like that before you're a Christian, when you begin to seek the Lord Jesus Christ, you think, they've got something I haven't got. I know Jesus is real and they've seen him, but I can't. And you think, I can't live like this any longer. I must have Christ. And if you truly want to know the Lord, you'll cry out all the more. The Lord Jesus Christ said this, men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Don't lose heart. Do you know what it means to lose heart? You give up. You say, it's not worth it. I can't carry on like this anymore. I'm trying and I'm trying and I'm trying and nothing's happening. So I'm going to stop now. Oh, you're not like that this morning, are you, seeker? You're not on the verge of giving up, of closing with Christ, of knowing his love and his forgiveness. He's promised, if you seek me with all your heart, you shall find me. Don't give up. Your soul's at stake. There's a loving Saviour. He's testing you. He's testing you. Do you really want to know me? Do you really want to eternal life? The greatest blessing I can bestow on you. I give it easily, the Lord says, but I don't give it casually. It's not just a little cherry to fit on your life. No. If you'll know my love, I will be your all in all. You will want me more than anything. I won't come second to anything. I've died and bled for sinners like you. I've borne a wrath that you could not fathom. And I willingly give it out, but don't treat me as a little extra. I'm testing you. And he does it for another reason. When you receive forgiveness, it means everything. Oh, some of us here, we sought the Lord hard. And we discovered that faith is the gift of God. It's a mysterious thing. You can't create faith. Only God can give you the faith. And you say, well, what's the point? But the other side of the coin is Jesus says, and the one that comes unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. He says, Israel, I will be sought of you for these things. And so we seek him. Some of us thought it'd be easy. We pray the prayer. Lord, I'm a sinner, forgive me. Nothing's happened. I try and believe. Nothing happens. And we're brought to the end of ourselves. We're brought to a point where we say, Lord, I can't do this. And then the Lord opens our eyes and he shows us that we can come as we are. On the one hand, don't be held back, but don't be casual about this. Is that how you feel about the Lord Jesus this morning, Christian? Is he your everything? Is he more to you than your closest relationship? Is he more to you than your child? Is he more to you than your husband or wife? Is he more to you than your father or your mother, than your health, than money? Does he mean that to you? If you can say that, you're a believer. If there's something that comes between him, then there's a problem. Because Jesus said, we have to love him more than everyone. But I'm speaking to the Christian now. You seeker, you need to close in on Christ and cry out for mercy. Well, what a wonderful sign we read here, an encouragement from verses 49 to 52. Where the Lord heals him. The Lord hears this cry. He notices a cry for help. In Matthew 20 verse 34. About this same miracle. We read Jesus had compassion. Do you know what that word compassion means? Do you ever watch sometimes the news on TV. And you see a heartbreaking situation. About famine in the world or something. Or a war-torn country. And you see a little 2-year old. With no father or mother. Wandering down the street. And your heart goes out. And you think, if I could, I would pick that little one up and bring them to myself. I would raise them as my own. Your heart goes out and you see their plight. Jesus, he said, had compassion on him in the other gospel accounts. His heart went out to this man. Not just because of his natural eyesight. But because of his sin that needed forgiving too. Seeking person this morning, know this, Jesus has such a heart for those that would seek his forgiveness, that if you see your wretchedness before God, there's so much you won't see. You'll see nothing. Perhaps you can only understand a little bit that you're a sinner. And you say, I'm a beggar. I'm a vile person. Would he have anything to do with me? What a heart he has. What an encouragement. He stands still. He hears your cry. What an encouragement for you to cry out to him in faith. Jesus did not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. Psalm 103 verse 11 describes the Lord's mercy as being as high or higher than the heavens. So your sin rises up so high before you. And God says, my mercy will always rise higher. That's a beautiful thought, isn't it? What did Bartimaeus do? He cried out for mercy in faith. We know it was in faith because in 52 he said, go your way, your faith has made you well. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, faith is the evidence of things unseen. So you put this scripture together. That's why it's so important to compare scripture to scripture. Bartimaeus could not see how Jesus could make him well. He could not see how he'd ever get his sight back, but he believed Jesus could do it. And he cried out to him in faith. And Jesus blessed that. And he restored his sight. And poor sinner this morning, you can't see how your sins can be forgiven. Perhaps the way seems very torturous, very complicated. But Jesus says, look who I am. Look why I came. Cry out to me. I have a heart for people like you. I have such a great heart of love. I'll freely and forgive all of your sins. But Bartimaeus, what happened? He heard the command, didn't he? Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. It's interesting, verse 49. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Don't forget there was a hostile crowd. A hostile crowd. He quells that crowd in an instant. Such authority Christ has. Never forget who he was. He was God joined to human nature. Do you remember when they tried to arrest him in the garden in the middle of the night? And Judas, deceived by the devil for money, comes with a great crowd, all armed. And they said, are you Jesus of Nazareth? And he said this, I am. And those very words, they fell backwards. The power, he was demonstrating who he was. I am. And they fell down. He showed them, you don't take me. I'm going willingly like a lamb to the slaughter. You haven't arrested me. I'm walking to suffer the judgment. Here, God, I command him. There was something. And they stopped. They piped down. And the man was released. That's what the Lord does to the devil that plagues some of you so much. He says, enough. He grabs him back. This one is mine. There is no case too hard for Christ this morning. And he commands you. He bids you to come in faith. How gentle he was. When he heard the call, what did he do? See, these are not just words for our fun, that he threw aside his garments. He arose and came to Jesus. Why did he throw aside his garments? He didn't want anything to entangle him. His upper garments, he might trip up. He might not get to Jesus. What a picture there is of us and our sin. That in our heart we are willing to lay aside everything to come to Jesus. Now I must clarify that. I don't mean you stay away until you've got rid of all sin from your life because you'll never come to Christ. But it's this. Christ is speaking to you this very morning. It's affecting your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're thinking, I want to follow Christ, but it means I'll have to stop this. Or I have to stop that. You'd be like Bartimaeus, say, Lord, I am willing, whatever it costs, whatever the pain, whatever the suffering, whatever I have to give up by your strength, I'm willing to do that and I come to you. That's what it means. Christ comes first. Anything that would hinder us. And then the Lord asks him something strange. Bearing in mind he's God and knows everything. He says, what do you want me to do for you? Why does he ask that? He wants Bartimaeus to confess with his mouth, to confess in his heart, Lord, I need this from you. I need to receive my sight. And the Lord needs to hear from us, from our hearts. It might not be a verbal prayer. Lord, I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. And only you can forgive me. There's no one else. I could run the world. I could seek the world's greatest preachers, the world's godliest men and women. I could petition them to pray to you, but they can't give me forgiveness. The priest can't give me forgiveness. But you can. And Lord, please forgive me. You've promised to forgive me if I come to you. Please forgive me. And what do we see? Go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight. What an encouragement for you, seeker, this morning. If you go to Jesus as you are, with all your questions, you can't see anything. A million, billion questions. But you need to know this. Am I a sinner? Is Jesus my only hope? Lord, help me. Lord, you've promised in your holy word, you would never tell a lie. And all that come to him, trusting in him, will know his forgiveness. And you'll see so much. You say, what will I see? The other side of God dealing with me And you won't see it till the other side. You won't see it until you've been brought to trust in Jesus. You'll see, first and foremost, the love of God to you. You will be amazed that God could love you. You'll be amazed, not just at your sinfulness, but the wonder of God's love. I could try and spend all day speaking to you about the love of Jesus. But you have to know it for yourself. It is beyond comprehension. It passes understanding. You would rather die than lose that love. It is immense. It is infinite. It is everlasting. And when someone's first a Christian, sometimes early on in their Christian life, you can know it in a great measure. Not for everyone. It's little by little for some, but you know something of it. You'll see that. You will look at life completely differently because your blindness has been taken away. You'll say, this is what it's about. This is why I'm here, because God made me and he made this world and I'm to live for him. And he wants me to honour him wherever he's put me. And he wants me to help in the spread of the gospel. Perhaps I'm not a preacher. Perhaps I'm not very good at talking to people. I can pray. I can give them a tract. I can say something. I'm going to be at the prayer meeting and pray God will bless the ministry and bless the church and bless the outreach. And your perspective will change. Your attitude to sin will change. You'll look at sin in a different way. Before we're converted, we can know a natural guilt and feel a bit uncomfortable. But this is a different thing. We think, how can I do this? Jesus has paid the price for that. Why would I do such a thing? I hate it. I want to stop it. Your eyes will be open. You'll have a sense of heaven. You'll have a sense there's a life beyond this grave. And there'll be times when God will draw so close to you, where the veil between here and heaven will be drawn back partially. And he'll fill your soul so much. Oh, he makes you see many, many things. And he said that your faith has made you well. He doesn't just give us our sight, he gives us a new nature. He gives us a new nature, not just spiritual sight, but a new nature. Jesus said, I give eternal life. That is such a profound truth this morning. Some of you here, you think perhaps you need more money, or you need better health, or you need this or that. But if you've got eternal life, but if you haven't got eternal life, you could have all of these things in great measure. And yet, my friend, you've got nothing. One day you're going to leave it all behind. You came into this world, the word of God says, naked, a little baby, naked. And you'll leave it naked in a coffin somewhere. Down, you might have your clothes, but you won't be there. Your soul are left behind. You'll leave your houses and your money and your friends and your family and your jobs and your travels and your education. It'll all be gone far, far. And you'll go to be before the Lord. To be made whole, to have eternal life, that is a beautiful thing. And perhaps some of you are trying to live the Christian life before you're a Christian. And you can't, because you haven't got that new nature. Matthew Henry sums it up beautifully, speaking about the beauty of Christ with sinners. He says, Christ invites the guilty, the empty, the tempted, the hungry, the naked, to be of good comfort, to be pardoned and clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Well, lastly, what did Bartimaeus do? It says, and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Elsewhere it says he danced with joy. And you do dance with joy when Jesus has forgiven you. When you've seen Christ in all his glory, you do dance with joy. In your heart, some people literally. But look what happened. Jesus said this to him. He gave him a choice. He says, Bartimaeus, you can go your way now. You can go and do whatever you like because your faith has made you well. So Bartimaeus, imagine that. He got his sight. Imagine that. He saw the world perfectly for the first time. Caroline's just had her sunglasses upgraded after many years. She has prescription sunglasses. Now she can see properly long distance. But imagine Bartimaeus, the excitement. He could have thought, I'm going to go and explore the world. I'm going to see where I live. Where do we find him? Following Jesus on the road. Do you know, that is what happens to a true believer. Let me explain. There is the poor sinner. They've gone to the beautiful, almighty Lord Jesus Christ. They said, Lord, have mercy on me. They've cast themselves upon him in faith. And he's forgiven all their sin. He said, you are loved. You are forgiven. Your sins are far from you. You will never go to hell ever again. Your life is yours to do with as you will. In one sense, he says that he gives you the option, so to speak. What happens with a true believer? Oh, I've got to follow Christ. Now, the Lord calls people to follow him, but it's not an oppressive following. It's such a beautiful picture because that's what we want to do. Now, where are you this morning? Are you in the crowd looking on Jesus, but you're indifferent? You've come here for a bit of entertainment. You'll be sadly disappointed with that. You've come here for just to have a chat with some friends and a coffee afterwards. Are you like that, spiritually indifferent? Are you here this morning troubled by your sin? Well, be like Bartimaeus. Have you gone to him? And are you following Christ on the road? And what a road it is. Where does it lead? Well, it leads in one of two ways. Either one day we will see without these eyes instantaneously Christ appears, we're changed. And he comes down and this world comes to an end. Or one day this frail body breathes its last breath and we go to be with our Lord. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Amen.